Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. People all over the world have claimed to see some creepy and unexplainable creatures. These subscribers sent in what they claim to be real encounters with these creatures. As always, it is up to you to determine whether you believe them or not. Joining me today on this video, helping me read some of the stories, is my friend, Eris. She has a great voice and has a great channel that covers things like skinwalkers, wendigos, and other cryptids. If you enjoy those kind of stories, definitely check her out after this video is done. You can subscribe to her by checking out the link in the description down below. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's with a cryptid or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy cryptid stories. So I've had a total of 3 Bigfoot encounters here in Colorado. 2 of them are located at the same exact place as the encounter I'm going to speak about. I don't have a clue what it was. This happened off of Highway 66 west of Sedalia, Colorado, pretty close to Castle Rock. First off, I'll give a quick recap of one of the best Bigfoot encounters I've ever had. Me and my mom were walking down the trail, and I was a little bit further ahead. I'm an ex-Marine and private contractor, so not a lot scares me. I had stepped on a log and happened to look down the mountain. I saw what I would say was a 7 to 8 foot Sasquatch walking away from me down the mountain around 70 yards away. I initially screamed. I hate to admit it, but I did. I ran right past my mom and then stopped because, first, I can't leave her behind, she's not in the best of health, and second, I had to try and let her know that I was not seeing things. We walked to where I saw it, and at first we didn't see anything, but had a bad feeling that we couldn't explain. I pulled out my pistol just in case, and right then, he stood up from behind a bush, right beside a big pine tree at the end of the foothill. My mom couldn't believe her eyes, and I swear they know what guns are. We just then slowly backed up and went back to the vehicle. Now for the weirder stuff. This is probably one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. I told a friend about this place where I've seen Bigfoot and had logs thrown at me. So, we decided to drive his BMW up to the same spot where I and my mom had that happen. Before we left, we bought a bottle. Now, I know it is not good to drink and drive anywhere, let alone the mountains, but we didn't start drinking until we got there. You would have left us if you saw what we did. After smoking and drinking this little bottle, we felt the liquid courage to go off the trails in the woods in the middle of the night. Dumb idea in hindsight. Mind you, I'm not typically somebody who sees stuff when they're drunk. I usually can hold my alcohol pretty well. We had walked around 50 yards and both realized we don't have a great feeling, and maybe this was not a smart idea. We started talking about going back to the gravel parking lot, when we heard what sounded like someone intentionally slamming their foot on some branches of a broken tree maybe 25 feet away. We both looked immediately, and I had to rub my eyes to make sure I was seeing this correctly. And I sure as heck did see something. We saw what looked like to be a floating old Russian-style gas mask that was an almost neon green. We could see no body, and it started moving towards us. Fight or flight kicked in, and I started yelling with the most intimidating voice I could make. I went absolutely berserk, It was kinda like how the younger brother was in the movie Signs, when they run around in the house and chase off the alien. Now, I'm not saying this was an alien. Honestly, I actually have no clue. It stopped about 15 feet from us, and I was so fearful, I'm not positive, but I think it was changing shape. That's when we turned around, and literally adrenaline rushed out of that thicket of small trees. Once we made it to the car, we saw the tops of the trees where we had just left. To say the least, we got the heck out of Dodge, and I've never been back since. Just not at night, I guess. But I've had no further incident. Also, mind you that me and my mom saw that Sasquatch in daylight. It was evening, but not dark out. I'm honestly pretty good at camping if I'm alone, but I don't want to in that area. This happened to me when I was about 9. That's almost a decade ago. I won't go into any details like where I live, but I'll give a little info about what I think caused this. My parents, my sister, and I moved into a new house when I was 7. Now, where we live is very fond of superstitious people with superstitious habits to back them up. This happened when a festival known as Oro was being held. Oro occurs whenever the son of a kind dies. So, you know the king's son died that day, and everyone was told to stay home. A quick note about Oro. Anyone who sees the Oro will either die or be used as a sacrifice. So, as I said, this day everyone was supposed to be home, but I was at school with my sister. Skip past school hours, and my sister and I are getting back from school, and we start to hear the music, traditional music. We know full well this is surely the Oro, so we dart straight home. Immediately we got home. I got curious and wanted to know how the Oro looks like, so I looked out the front gate and I saw a glimpse of it. It was a white figure, but that's all I saw. I thought nothing of it. I was home and I was safe. Fast forward to the night, and I woke up about 2 a.m. to a light thud in my wardrobe. In all honesty, I was scared. The thud got louder and louder until the wardrobe flew open and came out a silhouette. It was tall, like 7 feet tall. It was buff and really dark. It approached me slowly and steadily. I couldn't see its face until it stepped into the light, but, oh God. What I saw was terrible. The figure had twisted goat legs and a really built body. It had no head. Just a stump, which I can assume was its neck. It looked like it was holding a head. A decapitated girl's head. I unfroze and booked it straight to my parents' room. I began to cry and scream that there was a monster in my room, and it was holding a girl's head. But, as my parents do, they just said I had a bad dream. When they checked my room, it was clean, like nothing had ever happened. I was so scared. Even the wardrobe was closed. I'm 18 now, and I haven't seen that creature again, and I hope I never do.
I live down in South Georgia. I'm not going to say exactly where for privacy purposes. I live the normal southern lifestyle of hunting, fishing, and other outdoorsy things. I've spent my entire life in and out of the woods, but I've never experienced anything like I'm going to tell you today. I still get the chills thinking about it. It was August in 2017, and I had gone fishing at the creek with my grandfather. We had our usual spots deep in the creek where no one would go. We split up about halfway in so we could test multiple spots. I always preferred the more swampy areas, because that's where the bigger fish tend to be. I was roughly a mile into the brush when I noticed some tracks in the mud. There were the usual deer and raccoon tracks, but there was one on the trail that stood out. I had never seen anything like these before. It had 3 toes and was about 3.5 inches wide. At the end of each toe, I could see the indentations of claws. It looked a lot like an alligator's foot, just bigger and missing a toe. I decided whatever it was must have been gone by now, and I can go about my business. I should have left then and never looked back. I sit down in my favorite spot and begin unhooking the line from my pole. I sat for about 10 minutes before I decided they weren't biting there. And as I start to leave, I hear something run off through the brush. It scampered oddly and quick, like it had two legs. Spooked, I began my brush-filled walk back to the truck. A quarter way into my hike, I notice something tailing me to the left. I peek in that direction, but I don't see anything. It was getting dark, so I flipped out my flashlight. I continued to hear whatever it was keeping pace with me. Then I heard the odd sound of nails climbing up tree bark, and the pacing stopped. My blood ran cold for a minute. I shined my light up to the tree and I saw it. It was 5 foot tall and covered in slimy scales. It had a head that looked almost human, except small reptilian features. Staring back at me were large yellow eyes that seemed to pierce my soul. I bolted for the truck. I met my grandfather there. He was worried. I told him something was chasing me, so we tore out of there in a hurry. As we left, the taillights lit up the creature for us to see. It stood there, grinning almost. It had small razor-like teeth that resembled a saw blade. It almost caught up to us before we reached the highway. Needless to say, I don't go back to that creek anymore, and I don't plan to ever again.
We are Wiccan brothers. We are also demon hunters. We perform exorcists and we banish spirits from homes. We have our fair share of experiences throughout the years dealing with demons, unknown creatures, mythical creatures of all sorts. Back in 2015, we used to stay in a high-rise in Springfield, Illinois, where we used to have this neighbor that stayed right across the hall from us on the 6th floor, by the name of Kevin. He was a wild guy, always friendly with nature. He had long brown dreads, just gooped up as he slept in the dirt all his life, but he was a cool person. He lives like a hippie, looks like a hippie too. He was very tall and slim, and his girlfriend was very short and chunky. Anyway, his apartment always has very funky stuff happening. Like, it stunk very bad like sewage, and I always wonder why it's not like it looked as bad. Anyway, his apartment was very funky. Like, it stunk very bad like sewage, and I always wondered why, as it was not as bad as it looked. So one day, he comes over to hang out, and a lot of unexplainable things started happening. Knowing what we know, the sign that he is showing us looks like the same sign of a reptilian humanoid. If I'm not mistaken, and so we started watching them closely, even more closely as the days go by. So when he comes by, we keep an eye on him, and then one day my Wiccan brother, Kiseg, saw Kevin's eyes change. They changed color, and his eye pupil shifted into what would be a cat's pupil, and his teeth were razor sharp for only a split second. He must have noticed that he saw it because he changed right back just as quick as he changed the first time. Then, that's when he told us he would be back, and that's when I and my brother came to the conclusion that he is a reptilian. So, the next day when Kevin came over, and my brother kicked it with him, we sat down on the couch, and we told him we knew you were a reptilian. There's nothing you can hide from us. We saw you change. That's when his eyes got big, and he starts scratching his head, and was like, what are you talking about? How do you know? I don't know what you mean, man. My brother says, we've been watching you. We know about everyone in the building, and we know you're not the only one. After that, he was cool, but he stopped coming around as often as he used to. Then soon after that, he stopped coming around for good. I think we scared them off because every time we saw them, he would say hi, but he would just keep going. As I say, there goes Reptilian Kevin passing again. I haven't told this story to many people. In fact, I had largely forgotten about it until I heard a story on your channel that reminded me of it. This happened when I was 11 years old. I'm 22 now, and about to graduate from college. So keep in mind, I was a young kid, and it's been a while since these events occurred. Anyway, without further ado, here's my story. Growing up, I used to go hunting a lot with my dad and grandfather about 20 minutes down the road from my home. We live in a very rural area in North Louisiana. Unlike what you see on television, not all of Louisiana is made up of swamps and alligators. In fact, in North and Central Louisiana, the area is very similar to the landscapes you would see in East Texas and Mississippi. Lots of dense forest, thickets, lakes, and rivers are in the area. This area of the state is very popular for hunting because there are so many different hunting clubs you can join, and they have campsites to stay when I'm not hunting. It was late fall, early winter when this took place, probably somewhere around November of 2008 if I remember correctly. My grandfather, whom I'd mentioned, would often come up to hunt with us, would often stay at the camp that was a part of our hunting club, as he lived about 2 hours south of us, and it was just more convenient for him to pull his camper up and stay at the campsite than to stay with us. Oftentimes, when he came, he would be accompanied by my cousin, who was the same age as me. I refer to my cousin as C, as he has an important role in the story. Many times, when they would come up during holidays from school or various weekends, I would get my dad to bring me to the camp so I could stay the night with them at the camp. As during holidays from school and various weekends, it would be fun, and I loved hanging out with my grandfather and my cousin C. We would often stay up late around the campfire, eating great food and listening to my grandfather tell us stories that he had experienced throughout his life. One day, C and I slipped into the woods around our campsite to build a fort. Being young boys, doing stuff of this nature was fun for us, and since my grandfather would often nap for hours in the afternoon, we had plenty of time outside to do such as. Using materials from around the campsite, such as an old wire couch frame, we were able to build this fort a few hundred yards into the woods. Now, as a side note here, it's important to understand, although these forests were hunted and they were thick, I and C have been going through them for years with my grandfather and father, and knew them like the back of our hands. Also important to know is the area around the campsite was off limits for hunting to prevent accidents from occurring. So those woods, for probably a mile radius, were never really scouted or utilized for much of anything. Anyway, back to where I was. I and C had set up our fort using old fallen branches and limbs we had found, and kind of constructed a lean-to beside a big tree. Inside this, we placed the couch frame and used old blankets as cushions to sit on. We would often slip to this spot to hang out during the day to hang out, and play games on our Game Boys and text and prank call people from our cell phones when my grandfather would take his naps. It was a few hundred yards away from the campsite, as I said, and was a very peaceful place during the day. One evening, after returning from my hunting, my grandfather had decided to turn in for the night a bit earlier than normal. The sun had just set, so C and I remained outside and talked to another boy that was trying to stay at a campsite with his father. After a couple of hours around the fire, the boy had gone to bed, and I and C decided we weren't ready to get cleaned up for bed yet. My grandfather was asleep. The fire was still stoked, and the night was clear. So we decided to go see what our fort was looking like at night. Looking back, it wasn't the brightest idea. Yes, we had flashlights, but there are many dangerous snakes in the area, as well as coyotes, bobcats, and the occasional black bear. However, being about 11 years old, we never had those thoughts cross our mind. So we set off down the trail. After about 100 yards, we had to veer off the trail and go another 200 or so yards through the middle of the woods to get to the big tree in the opening where the lean-to was. Upon arriving, it was just like we had left it many times before. We sat in our normal spot after checking to make sure no snakes were around, and the tree started recording videos on our phones and telling ghost stories. I guess it was just to allure of being in the woods, alone when we weren't supposed to be, that made us want to stay for a little while. After probably just a few minutes there, C looked at me startled and asked, "Did you hear that?" Me texting on my phone said, "No, what was it?" C said, "It sounded like something walking over there." And he pointed further into the woods behind the fort. At first, I thought he was pranking me, as he usually did. But then, I heard something too. It sounded as if limbs were breaking at a considerable distance behind us. Something was walking. Again, having grown up hunting, even at only 11, this didn't concern me much. It could have just been a deer or something walking through the woods. After all, it was a full moon that night. The deer often feed during full moons. Also, it was a good ways off through the woods. A few minutes went by, and the sound was getting noticeably closer. I looked at C and said, "I think we should head back now." He nodded his head, and we agreed. We started walking back towards the trail. As we walked, the footsteps got noticeably heavier and louder. Whoever or whatever behind us wasn't trying to sneak anymore, and obviously was trying to speed up. Me and C, without looking back, both began sprinting towards the main trail. We ran and ran and ran until we burst out onto the trail. I know this would sound cliche, but in typical horror movie fashion, C tripped as we came onto the trail. So I had to stop, check on him, and in the process of doing so, whatever was back there was coming still and sounded like it was running at this point. In a fit of fear, we started running again, still about 100 yards from the camp. As we rounded the bend to see where I could see the campsite ahead, I heard something come out onto the trail behind us. I glanced back in the moonlight. I saw a huge figure standing about 40 yards behind us. I abruptly stopped to look at what was no longer chasing after us. C realized I had stopped and he looked as well. What we were seeing was tough to make out, but whatever it was very large and standing on 2 feet in the moonlight. With our campfire in sight, I and C started to back away from the thing standing behind us on the trail. The figure slowly walked back into the woods, and we swiftly sprinted back to the campsite and snuck back into our camper after putting the fire out. We got ready for bed, went to bed, and didn't say anything to anyone about what happened that night. After returning from our morning hunt, my father was prepared to make lunch on the barbecue pit. Me and C had been texting back and forth about what had happened last night to prevent any of the adults from overhearing us that morning. After some discussion, we had asked my grandfather to come check out our fort with us. We were hoping that if he came with us, he would see some sign of something that would maybe give us an idea of what chased us the night before. My grandfather, thinking it was just us being kids, agreed and walked to the spot with us. After arriving, I and C were horrified. The lean-to we had built was destroyed. Every branch we had used had been scattered on the ground around the tree, and the couch frame was about 30 yards away from where it was sitting, upside down. My grandfather, concerned, looked at us like we were nuts and said, "So why'd y'all tear it up, boys?" Stunned, we just looked at him and said we didn't, and played it off like we didn't have any idea what had happened. Other than this, there were no signs of anything else out there. It was honestly a very beautiful location, and my grandfather would often take walks back there with us every now and then just to explore during the day. We never mentioned what happened, and we never seen anything else that night. We never returned to that spot again alone, especially at night. For the record, I'm very skeptical in the existence of Bigfoots or cryptid creatures. I generally lean to the thought in my head that it was a man out there that night. Why was he out there on private property miles from the nearest house, I'll never know. If he was trying to scare us, he did a heck of a job, and I hope to never cross paths again. If it was a black bear or some kind of creature of sorts, I hope to never encounter anything else like that. So me, my friend, and my sister were exploring this abandoned mill near my house last night. We climbed in the first house and were coming up to the stairs to the second floor when we heard a noise. My sister was at the top of the steps, and I was somewhere near the middle. I pointed my flashlight around the middle of the room, and we saw this big, gray, furry creature that looked like it was hunched over. I saw a tail, and my sister said it had big, meaty shoulders, humanoid hands, and glowing, yellow eyes. We quickly realized whatever it was would probably not be too happy with it being in its territory, and swiftly got the heck out of there. What really sent chills down our spine was the fact that when we walked around the house, we noticed that there was a ladder going up to the second story. In order to get into the house, we had to step up on this barrel and climb onto a metal pole to hoist ourselves up into the entrance. That was about 7 or 8 feet off the ground. This means whatever that creature was, probably could not have gotten up the way we did. If it used a ladder, It was definitely something humanoid and messed up. Once we got back home, we did our research about possible animals it could have been, and living in Virginia, there were not many animals that resembled the creature we saw at all. It was far too big to be a fox or a cat. It had different fur than a wolf. It had a tail, so it couldn't be a bear. This led us to do some more research into cryptids. We came across stories of Dogman, and we looked at the pictures that came up. It seemed to resemble what we saw. I read some stories about Dogman, and they said that people that see it usually form obsessions over it. And my sister, being the only one that saw it with her own eyes, was ranting and raving about being so curious about it. She kept saying she wanted to go back and see it again. My sister drew a sketch of what she saw, and was doing some tarot readings about it. She had her card stacked on her sketchbook, and a bug crawled on it, and started going crazy, running around until it stepped on the top of the card of the deck, and then it stopped moving. My friend picked up the card, and it was the Wolfman card. We're thinking of going back to investigating soon, but I just wanted to tell this story and let you know that there may be dogmen in Virginia. I live in a small house near some woods where strange noises are pretty standard. One day, I was all alone with my girlfriend. We were watching some movies when we heard something strange coming from the woods. We quickly paused the movie to listen to the sound outside. I initially didn't think much of it at first. That was until the noise continued getting louder. I told my girlfriend to wait while I go look out through the window. Unfortunately, I couldn't see anything, so I grabbed a flashlight and went outside for a few minutes. I know, that is always a wise choice. Anyways, stepping out, I hear a soft whisper calling for help. Call out, and as I do, I hear the same voice again. Curious, I continued following the sound of the voice until I saw someone laying halfway out of the tree. I stepped closer, and when I finally arrived at the source of the sound, I almost threw up. There was a half-eaten body, terrified and disgusting. I looked frantically around, when I see glowing eyes peering from a tree. I point the light at it, and as I do this, I hear an ear-piercing growl. I was frozen in my steps, until I snapped out of it and ran towards the house. As I busted through the door in the house, my girlfriend looked worried. I told her to turn off the lights and to lock all the doors. After we did, I looked out the window one last time and saw a creature I've never seen before standing and staring at me with those same glowing eyes I saw in the woods. My heart racing, I waited with my girlfriend, praying nothing ever came of this. I didn't want my girlfriend and I to turn up dead in any sort of that sense, or even be a half-eaten body like I saw out there. Thankfully, after much hiding and praying, the strange creature eventually went back to the woods. To this day, I don't know what it was, but I hope I never see it again. And if any of you might know, please comment down below and let me know. And thank you, Swamp, for giving me the chance to share this story. July of 2018, I went to this mountain thing near where I live called Tor. It's pretty cool and has a lot of wooded areas and is quite high. It has a distinct smell which sometimes rises over and isn't there all the time. It's like rotting meat and sometimes fish. It's a bit weird, but nothing too bad. There are times though it's quite suffocating, almost like an aerosol. Anyway, one day in July of 2018, I went there and that smell was there, but I didn't care much. I went over to the wooded area, and sometimes there's a sheep that come into the wooded area, and usually, they act idly. It's a bit weird, but quite funny when they're there and you're with your friends. The wooded area is completely filled with bones that we just suspect are from dead rabbits or dead sheep, and it's nothing too unusual. As long as it's not human bones, nobody really cares. At any rate, I was up there by myself, and the sheep were just lying on their backs, and it was very creepy. I mean, there was a choking smell, bones flooding this area, and the sheep were not acting normal at all. Every so often, one or two would make a choking noise. This continues on for hours, and I'm perplexed and not finding it funny at all. Off in the distance, I hear a sound. It was a mix of a human voice and an animalistic growling. This spooks me, and I decide to look in the distance. I see what I think is just a tree. But as I begin to relax and think my mind is playing tricks on me, I notice it move. Yes, this tree-sized figure moved. Seeing it clearly isn't a tree and noticing the foul, death-like stench is growing stronger, I do my best to back away slowly. I then notice this thing is hurtling towards me, at which point I bolt the heck out of there and go home. I'm not sure if it was a skinwalker, or a wendigo, or a sasquatch of some kind, but the whole experience really spooked the hell out of me, and I thought I'd share it here and maybe see if somebody who listens to this show might have some answers in the comments down below. Thanks for listening to these creepy cryptid encounters. What did you think about them? Personally, they're kind of creepy to me. I definitely don't want to see any of these things out in the woods. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, want to subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video as I upload them almost every single day in all things natural and supernatural. If you enjoyed my guest Eris today, please check out her channel, subscribe, and show her some love from the swamp. She covers creepy cryptid stories of all kinds, and I know you guys will enjoy them. If you guys aren't aware, you can check out my merch store, which is under these videos, every single video. I have tons of shirts, mugs, and all kinds of cool stuff for sale. Also, if you want to download my stories outside of YouTube, you can do so on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much every other major podcast platform. Thank you guys for always being so awesome. If you made it to the very end of this video, let's comment something down below to confuse people. Why not Jumping Jiminy? See you guys soon with another creepy video.